Light Shines in the Darkness, Commentary for the April 20th, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. John 5, verses 39 and 40. I do not remember my first Bible. I am sure it was a King James Version, KJV, because when I became old enough to read and study it, that version was ubiquitous. My memorization of Bible texts was with that version, so that even today, over half a century later, I search for the text in that translation, and then switch to a more current translation once I have found the passage I am seeking. This is not because the KJV is the best translation, but rather it is because it is like an old friend who, despite his flaws, remains a friend. I have underlined thousands of texts and created custom chain references in my Bibles. I used them until they fell apart. I have had them rebound until they could be rebound no more. When that happens, it is like losing someone close, and it is hard to accept the new upstart in its place. The new Bible fails to automatically open to my favorite places. It has a different weight and feel in my hands. The cover leather is stiff with newness. However, I know that with time and usage, my hands and the new Bible will find their way to a comfortable relationship. More recently, these old friends have spent more time on the shelf than in my hands, as technology has made it far easier to access the Bible, not only in English, but also in almost any other language I choose, including Greek and Hebrew, instantaneously through the connection my laptop computer has to the internet. Even though I have a Hebrew Old Testament, a Septuagint, and a Greek New Testament within arm's reach of where I am now typing, it is often quicker and easier to access those documents online than to pull them from the shelf. In addition, those online sources are more up to date than the texts that have been on my shelves for years. For instance, the list of principal manuscripts in my Greek Bible only has 76 papyri, but many more have been discovered and published since then, adding more sources for textual study and evaluation. This means when I evaluate a text based on what is on my bookshelf, I need to verify what I am saying against what is online based on further discoveries. Some find these vagaries troubling, for they believe that the Bible is the inerrant dictation by God, written down by faithful scribes through the centuries. Unfortunately, this has been the reason many have turned from the Bible, for there are contradictions and errors in the text. However, none of those issues prevent the Bible narrative from achieving its purpose, except for those whose faith is shipwrecked if they admit to errancy. In that case, they have made an idol of the very book that tells them to eschew idols. The Bible is often referred to as the Word of God, but it is not. As John tells us, it is about the Word of God, who pre-existed the Bible. That Word is Jesus. The Bible is not Jesus, it is about Jesus. This is where the power of the Bible is. It is more than the sum of its parts, contradictions and all. It carries within its pages the mystery of God and encourages us to explore that mystery. While it may be tempting to think that the Bible contains all we will ever need to understand, it is only a signpost pointing to a gateway, and that gateway is Jesus. Part of the enigma of the Bible is that while it can take us to profound depths of understanding, it is also capable of bringing those of simpler thoughts to the feet of Jesus. This can be an obstacle for those who think their rationality exceeds that of the simpleton, and therefore shy away from pursuing something the simpler mind might pursue. While the Bible is not an inerrant book of spells and incantations that will magically produce rewards for those who adhere minutely to every jot and tittle they find there, through its guidance to Jesus, it has changed lives that seemed irretrievably broken. The presence of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who are found in its pages, has the power to reach into the life of a battered woman, a drug-addled addict, an abused child in an alcoholic home, and turn those lives around. God has repeatedly taken the offscourings of humanity and recast them into beautiful reflections of his loving character. Despite this evidence of something greater, so many want the Bible set aside as nothing more than ordinary ink on paper, no more deserving of attention than yesterday's newspaper. The Bible, as we know it today, did not become what it is until centuries after the death and resurrection of Jesus and the deaths of his disciples. During the period of the early Christian church, several documents were circulated and deemed authoritative that are not in our current Bibles. Decisions as to what should be included and what was not were long and drawn out over centuries. Although initially cited by church fathers, books like The Shepherd of Hermas were excluded. Others that were included, like Revelation, were debated even until the 16th century, when Martin Luther sought to exclude both that and the Epistle of James from his German Bible, but in the end relented. While Jesus said Scripture testifies about him, as I cited at the beginning of this commentary, he was not speaking of the New Testament. That had not coalesced during his lifetime. He was referring to what we call the Old Testament. His frequent citing of Old Testament prophets supports that understanding. However, we should not read into that the idea that he quoted them because they were such avid students of Scripture. He quoted them because they wrote of their experience with God. Like Enoch of old, they sought to walk and talk directly with the living Word. There was power in that relationship that infused their words with a depth of meaning that exceeded the natural, bringing the reader to seek the same paths they trod and the greater understanding to be found there. For millennia, humanity went to bed with the chickens and woke with them. But in our modern times, we have learned to turn night into day with the fire of electricity, first brought from the sky as lightning flashed from heaven to earth, and eventually tamed to travel from house to house, not only bringing light, but the magic of the computer where I am typing this commentary. It is made possible carrying a small device in my pocket that accesses people and information all over the globe. With such marvels, it is tempting to think there is no end to what we can accomplish, even ascending to the heavens as we not only orbit the earth, but travel to the moon and eventually the planets. We might ask, where is God in all this? Can we see him sitting somewhere out there in space? Considering all we have accomplished, do we even need this dodgy old Bible anymore? It does not help that biblical fundamentalists and their insistence on inerrancy make the whole idea sound ridiculous. But when I read the Gospels about the life of Jesus, his words, and what he stood for, I look around at our world and see how far we are from being loving and compassionate toward one another. I see human hearts given to greed and selfishness. I see those willing to use horrendous violence to force others to submit to them. And I see humanity unable to stop it, as though paralyzed into inaction. I am shocked by those same individuals railing against God and blaming him for the evil, even using this as an argument to assert that God does not even exist. Then it becomes clear to me why the Bible is important. Books do not force their way into our hands. Typically, they wait until we come to them wanting to read them. There are those books that once we read them, we soon forget them and they are lost over time, as better forgotten by all. Then there are other books that are so well written, we recommend them to others and may keep copies in our personal library. The Bible is like that. It sits and waits until someone decides to read it. When they do, change begins in the heart. That is because the Bible contains an invitation to a relationship with God. Therefore, the best way to keep God out of people's lives is to convince them that the book is not worth reading. Pointing out the contradictions and errors is often a part of that. But despite those flaws, its power to reveal Christ's compassion and love is not diminished. If the king invited you to a royal ball, would it make a difference if he sent you a formal invitation gilded with gold foil and calligraphy, or if he scrawled it on a piece of scrap paper and signed it? It's not about how the message was written. It is about who you get to meet as a result. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast at our website, along with footnotes supporting the ideas shared in this commentary, at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries, podcasts, articles, and links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.